Hello, my name's Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a continuing set of short screencasts providing a sort of tour of the networking stack in Silverlight 4, specifically Silverlight 4 Beta using Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. These videos will make most sense if you watch them in order. If you just jump into different ones, it might be more tricky to follow what's going on. And we are now into video 5. So what we've done so far was use the Web Client class to do an async download of some XML. Then we did the same thing using different formats for the XML, RSS and Atom, and we also looked at JSON as well. And then we looked at doing an HTTP post with the Web Client class, and that worked out fine. And then we looked at HTTP request response, which gave us more control and allowed us to get both the request stream and the response stream at the same time. And then we looked a little bit at cross-domain and cross-scheme access in video 4. So what I want to do here in video 5 is take a little look at maybe using alternate HTTP verbs, so non-get or post, and that will open up a whole different topic about network stacks, which we'll try and look at a little bit here, and that will kind of creep back into different videos as we go beyond this, even while we stay just talking about HTTP. Okay, so let's pop back over to Visual Studio. And the code is as it was, I think, at the end of video 1, in that we have a website, not that one, but this one. And the website is hosting a simple XML file. It's called post.xml. And the post.xml is just a set of posts that have titles, dates, and descriptions. We have a class over here in our Silverlight application that knows how to deserialize those things from link to XML elements. So it just knows how to take an X element and return a post from one of those things. And then we have a little piece of UI, and the UI has a button in it which runs this piece of code here, which uses a web client to go and asynchronously download that file I just showed you. When that download completes successfully, we go and load that up using link to XML, find all the post elements and turn them into post objects and data bind them onto the screen. And currently the way that's kind of working is we press F5, we get a UI, we get a button, we click the button, the data comes back and is bound onto the screen. So it's very, very simple stuff that we've got at the moment. Let's just close a few things down. So as you're working with Web Client, there's a few things that start to strike you as being a little bit odd. So if we go and take a look at the code again, let's just collapse down all these namespaces. Then, for instance, if you look at the Web Client class on there, in case you need to do authentication, which we'll talk about later on, we can walk up to the client class and we can go and set credentials. So you go and set credentials. We make a network credential, for instance, with a username and a password. Now, even though my site isn't actually requiring those credentials, that's kind of academic at the moment. So you press F5 and you think, well, okay, this is great. I'm going to now send some credentials. Let's put a breakpoint on our exception down here and click the button to send the request with those credentials. And you'll see, actually, this is a first chance exception we're getting at the moment. When we get down to our actual code, if we just get rid of this, we can see that there is a web exception here. And if we look at it, we can see that if we look inside it and try and find perhaps an inner exception or something on there, let's just see if we can find one somewhere. So here's an inner exception that says this property is not implemented by this class. Now that seems kind of strange, you know, because why have the property if it's not implemented? We'll come back to it in a minute. There's other things we can do. For instance, when the actual request is completed, we could try and get the response headers. So we could walk up to the client and say, give me the response headers. And again, let's put a breakpoint here and press F5. We've taken away the credential setting, so we should work again. Actually, I've just put that code in the wrong place. Excuse me. Let's put the code in the success side of this if statement rather than the failure side. So let's do that, press F5. And let's let that come back. We click our button. And here we are getting the response headers, and we F10. This property is not implemented by this class. So again, this is a little bit strange. Why is the property not implemented by the class? Let's look at something else. Let's take that away. So that was headers. Let's look at status code. So again, we've got our breakpoint on the failure case here. And let's make it hard for the client to get hold of post.xml. So if I go to my IIS config over here, for that particular folder it lives in, I'm going to say let's require SSL and press apply on that. So we've just made it difficult for the client to actually request that file. Let's press F5. And let's click on this again. Let's just continue down to my breakpoint. If we take a look at the web exception that we've got back here, one of its properties is webx.response. And you can see, and this is really indicative of what's going on, this is a browser HTTP web response. So let's take a look inside that. Let's cast it as what it is. So HTTP web response is the public type, so we can get WebX, and then we could ask it for its status code. Ooh, looks like I may have got that. So I need to do WebX.response, my mistake. Can we edit that line? Maybe not. Let's do HTTP web response of WebX. Dot response, and then let's ask that for its status code. Not found. Now that's not actually the status code for the forbidden access we just tried to make to that particular resource, so that's kind of strange as well. We're not getting proper status codes here. And one other thing to think of, and perhaps one of the big things really, is around when we go back to the upload scenario. So if you remember before, what we were trying to do was we were posting, HTTP posting to this handler over here. So let's put that code back for 1 second. So let's just snip this code. I might copy it in case I want it again. And let's do an upload. So I'll make this easier than we did it before. We'll just use upload string async. We'll go to the URI, which for us is handler.ashux. That's a relative URI. And then I think the next parameter is the verb, and the next parameter is the data. So we'll just send the string hello world. We won't even handle the completed event for this. Let's just make sure we've still got a breakpoint in our handler over here, and we do have, so let's press F5. And when we click our button, we arrive on the server side, and we should be able to see as we trundle down here that our request was hello world. So that makes sense, and let's just go back to the client side then and change that from an HTTP post to an HTTP put, which seems like such a trivial change to make, and yet when we go and click our button, again, specified method is not supported on this request. So we've seen quite a few things there, from credentials to response headers to verbs and through to status codes, where we seem to be getting a slightly sort of poor service from the HTTP stack. So the reason for this, or at least the way we can mitigate this, is that in Silverlight there are two different HTTP stacks we can use. There's what's known as the browser stack, and there's what's known as the client stack. And what we've been using so far is the default, which is the browser stack. Now, why are there two stacks? Well, obviously Silverlight applications usually run inside the browser, and certainly back in earlier days of Silverlight, that was where they always ran. And the browser already knows how to do lots of clever things around HTTP. So Silverlight just piggybacked onto that browser stack and made use of it for its requests. However, there's a bunch of stuff that the browser stack wasn't really written to support. For instance, it doesn't really do HTTP verbs beyond get and post. And similarly, it doesn't return complex status codes back to plugins that are hosted inside the browser. It doesn't give them that level of information. And similar things around things like cookies. The browser automatically manages its own cookies but doesn't want to share them with anybody else. And things like response bodies and headers, the browser didn't really see the need to give those to a plugin like Silverlight. So consequently, there's these two different stacks. Now, the way that you move between them is either on a sort of per protocol or per domain or a per request basis. So, at any point in time, we can walk up to a class called WebRequest, and we can tell it that we want to register a prefix, like HTTP. And we can say that we want to register that all requests for HTTP go through a particular stack. And we do that by saying WebRequestCreator dot either the client or the browser stack. So let's say client stack. So now we're saying that all HTTP requests that go anywhere are going through the client stack. So consequently, when we press F5, we should see that we are now doing an HTTP put. So if we just run down a little bit, I've forgotten where we've got our HTTP verb in here. Let's just see if we can get context.request dot HTTP method. And we can see it was an HTTP put that we did across to the server. So this now just works fine, simply because we've changed from the browser stack to the client stack. We could also do this for, say, just localhost, you know, so a particular domain. And we can also do it on a per request basis. You can actually walk up to webrequestcreator.clienthttp and ask it to make you a web request for a particular URI. And of course, that would be a client stack HTTP request, or you can walk up to the browser stack and ask it to create you one. So there's quite a lot of flexibility as to how this works. If we go back to our scenario that we had before, where we were downloading things rather than uploading things, I copied that code. So if you remember some of the things we were looking at, we are now currently on the client stack. If we set credentials now, client.credentials equals new network credential, let's say, user and password. Now, actually, my site at the moment isn't using these credentials. We'll come back to that later on. And I think it's currently requiring SSL, so let's just switch that off. But if we just now allow that to run through, it should now be able to download the data. It won't fail on an exception up front just from setting those credentials like it did previously. Similarly, if we wanted to get hold of the response headers at this point, let's just go and say, when the code works down here, let's say headers equals client.response headers. Put a breakpoint there. And if we run, we should now be able to see the response headers actually come back when we make the request. And if we look at headers, you can see that we now got a decent set of headers with a bunch of tags in there. Sorry, a bunch of headers in there, like content type and so on. So again, that's working, whereas previously on the other stack it didn't. And I think we also took a look at status code. So once again, if we go down to our failure code down here and put a breakpoint, let's go back and require SSL just to make this request fail. Press F5, requiring SSL so the request will fail. Let's just do that. That's just a first chance exception. And if we take a look, I think what we did before was we did HTTP web response by looking into WebX. This is the exception.response. And then we looked at its status code. Notice we've now got a proper forbidden status code on there as opposed to the generic status code that we saw earlier on. So generally speaking, the thing to be aware of course, is that there are these two stacks, the browser and the client. The client is normally more capable than the browser stack. And you get decent exceptions from Silverlight saying not supported when you try and do something on the wrong stack. The thing to say, though, because you might be thinking, well, why wouldn't you always just use the client stack for everything, is that the browser stack does some smart stuff. For instance, it does automatic cookie management, although it's not really prepared to be very friendly in sharing those cookies with you. But the browser stack is doing some stuff automatically that can have benefits. So generally speaking, you would work on the browser stack unless you needed some of these more advanced features, like being able to get the proper status codes or being able to send different verbs than just get and post. So status codes become very useful if you're doing something like SOAP messaging. And so you probably want to be on the client stack for SOAP messaging. And status codes become very useful and verbs become very useful for RESTful services. And so again, you probably want to be on the client stack if you're doing RESTful services. The key thing for this video is to know that these two things exist. We will see some of their differences again as we go through some subsequent scenarios. So it's kind of just pointing out that that is the case and how to switch between the two, either on a per domain, per protocol, or per request kind of basis.